All right, let's puck it up to start the final hour. Gresham Fauria today. 103 is the time. Scott McLaughlin at WEEI.com. He is a part of the hockey department here. In many ways, he is,
he is the hockey department.
He is the hockey department.
It's got some help. Got some help from Bridget.
Yeah. It's Scott, Bridget, and then whomever else wants to talk
Brian
pucks that
on the
day.
Skate pod, yeah.
Okay.
Razor Sunday Skate.
Okay. Oh, that's true.
Right. Yeah, One of my favorite shows.
The Sunday Skate.
We're still waiting for the Fauria call-in.
He's got to go to church in the morning, or else Mama Fauria will be hot.
I was calling in, and I noticed that Razor was not on. And he made up some lame excuse about something to do with his kids. I don't know why they would need all this attention. Oh, yeah. It makes no sense.
My goodness. Well,
and you don't make cookies. The only thing, the difference between you and Bridget is Bridget, at least when she comes in, she makes cookies.
That's true. You wouldn't want my cookies. So that
there's a lot of things from yours that I don't want.
There's a Bridget.
There's definitely one of them.
Twitch will be all over the Bridget's cookies jokes, sure, in about 30 seconds. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. So, Scott, let's start with last night, a concerted effort to lose gracefully. Was it about playing Toronto and Tampa in your mind last night?
No, I don't think they cared about the opponent. I think they just struggled to get up for that game. Last two games, really, I just think you're now into that final week before the playoffs, and I think, you know, motivation was hard to come by. It's not ideal. You'd like to win all the way to the end and play your best hockey right through game 82, but you know, they're
three shots in the first period. It's like on goal stood out. All I heard was Harry Doyle.
Yeah.
Three, you know, one, we got a hit. All we got is one GD hit, like three shots.
After the night before, they had four in the first period, four in the second. So, yeah,
they were trending that way.
The A game was not there until the third period. They did finish strong last
night. They
were
great in the third.
Finally woke up, but obviously too little too late. I think they knew they were locked into the playoffs. I don't think they really cared all that much whether they were first or second, whether it was Toronto or Tampa. So, yeah, you try to, you know, build in some inner motivation, but didn't really seem to click for them the last two nights.
Do you think that's why Montgomery was so ornery post-game? Is that he probably tried to tell them, hey, guys, this is important, and they just weren't buying it?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think he wanted to see at least one of those last two, see, you know, a really good effort to kind of close things out and give them something to build on, and it just didn't happen. So, yeah, I think he wanted to see the bounce back after Monday night's off game and didn't get it until the third period. So I'm sure he was a little annoyed by that. I think overall he still feels pretty good. I mean, the 2.5 weeks prior to that, they were playing really good hockey and beat a lot of really good teams. So you can't throw that all out the window just because of the last two games. But, yeah, going in with back-to-back losses isn't ideal.
Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com, covers the Bruins here at WEEI. You hear him on the Skate Pod on Sunday Skate as well. So I know this is going to sound like one of those commercials of the, well, you know, prior results are not an indicator of future success. However, this year, the Bruins have been the hammer to the Maple Leafs' nail. Does that continue, or do the playoffs change things?
Playoffs always change things. You know, I think pretty much any player will tell you what happens in the regular season doesn't really matter when you get to the playoffs. The first two meetings this season, I put no stock in. Those were before Christmas. That's too long ago. The two most recent ones were early March. Like, that's not that long ago, and those were convincing 4-1 wins for the Bruins. So I'd say there's a little more relevancy in those games, but ultimately, you know, what happened on March 7th isn't going to mean a whole heck of a lot when you get to Saturday night for game one.
So, and that's the interesting storyline for me is, like, what's important, what matters, getting out of the first round. And that's why I feel like they were kind of like, I don't know, disconnected the last two games because of what happened last year. Do you think that they kind of understand, based on the fact that they were a victim of regular season success last year and they couldn't even get out of the first round, and here they are this year, like openly saying, so what? We all know it doesn't matter.
I think that's part of it. Yeah, it's tough. You know, last year they did finish strong. They won, I think it was like 9 out of 10 down the stretch, and then you lose in the first round. So it's hard this year to then try to, you know, get them to believe, like, hey, these regular season games matter and seeding matters and all that. And
when you, like, did it last year and
right,
you lost, and then you're like, well, then we kind of have proof that it doesn't.
Right, exactly. So, you know, last year, now I don't think they went all out down the stretch last year either, but they were so much more talented than everyone else that they still won anyways. But yeah, it has to be somewhere in your mind where it's like, all right, well, last year we did win everything down the stretch and got the records and pretended we cared about seeding and all that and our record and wins and losses, and it didn't mean anything. So, like, why should we really care this time?
Since the trade deadline, I think a lot of people would say Linus has outplayed the Swayman. However, last two times out, Jeremy Swayman was in against Toronto in those games that you reference and only gave up one goal. So which way do they go for game one?
Yeah, that does. If it was Tampa, I'd say definitely Allmark. He's played better since the All-Star break, better since the trade deadline. You know, no problem. But because Swayman got those two wins over Toronto, that does complicate it a little. I think you're going to see both goalies early in the series anyways, whether that's a strict rotation or just making sure someone gets in. I do think they're probably going to split the first two games. I feel like that's the way it's been building. I would go Allmark game one still because he has been the better goalie for, you know, a pretty big sample size here of a couple months. But Swayman also was great his final game of the regular season. He was the one guy who showed up Monday in Washington. He was excellent. And Allmark was a little off Tuesday. So very close. I would split them the first two. I've been more pro rotation than most people, so I would do that. But I'd give game one to Allmark.
Can Samsonov on the other side steal the series for Toronto? Does he have that in him?
I don't think so.
I'm with you.
I don't see anything in his history and his track record this season that would indicate that. He was good against Tampa in the first round last year. The Leafs finally get over that first-round hump, right? They finally won a playoff series last year. Then in the second round, he ends up getting pulled. They go to Joe Wall, and
he was not a wall.
No, he was okay. He wasn't the problem. But, yeah, Samsonov lost that job last year. He lost it at times this season. It looked like Wall was again going to be their starter. They even tried Martin Jones for a little bit. It looks like it's Samsonov's job again now, but he hasn't been very good this season. So I don't think he's the kind of goalie that can steal a series, but any NHL goalie is capable of getting hot at the right time, but he hasn't done it.
So we're talking to Scott McLaughlin, our WEEI super hockey nerd. We'll call you my super hockey nerd.
That's
a compliment.
Know.
I feel like people who cover hockey are kind of nerdish.
How about
in a way.
The head of the hockey department here at WEEI? It sounds so much better.
Which
than,
one would you like?
Hey, nerd.
Wait, Scott, do I ever roll in and be like, nerd?
Never happened.
I feel like it's a compliment.
No, I'm fine with nerd. I'm fine with dork. I know, you know, that's popular around these parts.
The word dork on WEEI because our great friend Rich Keefe.
So looking at this game, okay, so I guess so much has been made of the goalie situation. I guess it just is what it is, and it feels like it's such an outlier because no other teams do this. And if no other teams are doing it, what makes anyone think that this is the right way to go about their business? Like, I feel like it's not going to go away because they're going to continually rotate these guys. I personally think they should pick a guy and tell everybody else to get out of the way.
Well, they tried doing that last year, and that didn't work. Mm-hmm. They tried riding Linus Allmark, and he struggled as the series went on.
You think it's because he didn't know that there was a rotation coming, or?
No, he was dealing with, you know, some sort of minor ailment as well, but, you know, ultimately he wasn't able to carry them through a series, and they had to go to Swayman cold for game seven. So I think, you know, based on everything we've heard from Montgomery this year, he feels like that was a mistake last year. You know, I asked him probably a month and a half ago, could you do what you did last year, which was rotate right to the end of the regular season and then ride one guy in the playoffs? And without directly saying it, he basically said, like, we learned that it's tough if you're rotating all year to then ride one guy. So I don't think they're going to try to do that, at least not to start. Now, if they start rotating and one guy is much better than the other, then, yeah, absolutely. End the rotation, ride the hotter hand. But to start, I do think they're going to rotate.
Where are you at on Pat Maroon, his health, and what could be his impact in this series, given that you got tough guy Reeves on the other side for Toronto?
Yeah, I feel like that'll be, you know, it's a fun storyline for fans. Watch those two guys who have been doing this kind of role for so long.
Give me one fight, game one, get it out of the system, and then let's go play hockey, right?
Yeah, ultimately, in terms of on-ice impact, probably fairly minor for both guys. You know, they're playing limited minutes, fourth line type role. But, you know, for the Bruins, I think you hope Maroon's impact is more than just, oh, he can go battle with Ryan Reeves.
He's a beefer, right? No, you get something out of the guy.
Yeah, you want Pat Maroon helping that fourth line generate offense, hold on to pucks down low. You've seen that from him. It's only been two games, but you've seen him do that a couple times where he gets that puck down low up against the end boards, and he just doesn't let go, and he just holds on to it and eventually, you know, moves it out to someone who's there to support him, and you just get more zone time, and that just helps build momentum and helps kill the other team's momentum. So he has a more important role to play than, hey, you know, let's hope he fights Ryan Reeves at some point. Like, no, Maroon can actually do other things to help his team, even in a fairly limited role minutes-wise.
So other than the hockey rotation, which you mentioned how he, you know, probably, you know, said that he kind of regrets, you know, changing course once the playoffs started, what other lessons from last season do you think he will take and change going into this postseason?
I think one big one has to be a willingness to just flip pucks out of the defensive zone. The Bruins want to exit the D zone with possession. They want to skate it out or pass it out. And that's great. That leads to better transition, leads to more offense at the other end. Most teams want to do that. But in the playoffs, when you're facing a good forecheck, when you're under pressure, that can also lead to a lot more turnovers. And that really bit them last year against Florida. They kept trying to make plays out of the zone. Too many turnovers. Panthers made them pay, put in the back of the net. Don't take those chances. If you're under pressure, if that play's not there, that's been there in the regular season, just flip it out to the neutral zone and live to fight another day. Like, Razor always calls it punting, and that's exactly what it is. It's like play field position. Like, just get it out, regroup, go fight for it. Don't commit those D-zone turnovers. That is such a killer in the playoffs. If you're just giving away chances that immediately lead to a scoring chance, like, it's a recipe for doom.
Hey, last thing for you. Does Florida have what it takes to beat Tampa, or is it more the other way around? Because stylistically, these teams are very different. How do you see that Florida-Tampa series?
I like Florida in that series. They're a much better 5-on-5 team, and that's actually why I feel like I'm in the minority on this. I would have preferred Tampa over Toronto in the first round.
Interesting.
The Lightning have not been a good 5-on-5 team this year. They are 26th in the NHL in 5-on-5 goal differential. Like, they have struggled all year. Now they have the best power play in the league, so if you put them on the power play, they can make you pay. But I think playoffs tend to be more 5-on-5. That tends to be a bigger part of success than special teams. So I'll take the Panthers there. I think they're just a better all-around team. You know, Andre Vasilevsky has not been himself this year. It's been the worst season of his career coming back from hip surgery. So we'll see. You know, I would take the – nothing would shock me because the Lightning obviously have that core that's done it so many times.
Oh, and I got PTSD with them. That's exactly why I was like, okay, let them go. Let Florida go deal with them.
That's understandable, but I do think the Panthers are a better all-around team.
All right, you can good job. You can check out the skate pod. Also, you'll get your hockey talk at 10 a.m. on Sundays as well.
And 9 a.m., 2 hours, 9 a.m.
Oh, 9 a.m.
Wow, so it'll be a post-game, really, is what it'll
be. Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. No sleep. I think we're going to have an 8 p.m. star for game one. So that'll be a late night right into the 9 a.m. Sunday.
I love it.
You and Razor just flop right here, you know.
Yeah.
And
9 a.m.
Bridget will
Sunday.
Bring in some cookies. It'll wake you up at 8:30. There you go.
Bridget's cookies.
Oh, man. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate you, brother.